Yes, love is begging door to door, but finds the silence.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sad Quest on a beautiful spring day, moments before the end of March. Is this the Ides? I'm not sure if this is the Ides of March, or do the Ides even have a day? I'm not sure. Welcome to another episode of your absolute favorite video game and culture podcast. I am Dolly Domofsky. I think I am. All this heavy medication I've been under may say differently. Joining me also is the one beautiful, luscious Sam Dixon.
Hello, friends. Luscious is a little bit of a weird descriptor, but hello.
And the Mr. March himself, Wout.
Hi.
How's it going, my dear friend?
Good. Glad to be back in the show.
Tom was going to be on, but he bailed because of Batman versus Superman. I think the reviews bailed as well. At least the good scores did. I'll be checking out later tonight, actually. So that's what we're going to cut our podcast short later. And then Robin wishes she could make it, but she's got a bunch of stuff she's doing before the end of her schooling semester. So she's she's pounding away on those hours at the office. But I have you two, and the internet has us three. We are like the triforce of awesome. Let's see, there's courage, wisdom, power, charm. We're the triforce of charm.
Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah, good. Anyways, a lot of great stuff we're going to talk about today. There's a lot of news out there. If you see me turning and coughing, it's not that I'm getting a physical, it's that I've got a nasty cold. So I've loaded up on Fireball whiskey to hopefully get me through the podcast. But I will leave it to my fine partners in crime here to help power through. See, a lot of great, interesting news to talk about. But at first, we're going to start with what we've been playing. And it, as is the typical way to do things, I guess, on the internet, we're going to start with our guest. So tell us a little bit about what you've been up to and what you've been playing.
All right. Well, I have been playing a lot of Far Cry Primal before I went on my vacation, where I just played golf for like a week straight.
Excellent.
not a Wii U golf, no, like the actual legit grass golf. Loved Far Cry Primal. Like I'm very much a bow and arrow fan when it comes to first-person shooter and hacking and slashing. I think I used the club maybe twice. The rest is all bow and arrow, headshots, boom. But it was a lot of fun. Then I got sucked into the hype of The Division, but I'm level 4 now because Daredevil Season 2 happened. So I
that happened to a lot of people.
Yeah. So that's it, and I'm looking forward to dive into The Division a little bit more. I get some multiplayer going on because it was just me solo playing as Carol from The Walking Dead that I made in the game.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't even know you could create characters in the game.
There you have it.
There you go.
You can get five. So.
So we found Carol, who happened to walk off of The Walking Dead. She's actually showed up in The Division.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Brilliant. Two more episodes of The Walking Dead this season, and I have theories. I have theories that we may have to chat afterwards.
Yeah.
What a great season it's been, though.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Sam, what have you been playing, my dear friend?
Well, it's funny you mentioned Daredevil, because I just finished the season, probably, I want to say, 40 minutes ago. So,
oh, excellent.
It's a doozy. That's the last couple episodes.
I haven't. I'm one episode into the first season. So I was sucked into House of Cards, and we, you know, binge watched that for the last 3 weeks. So now we're ready to dive into Daredevil.
Also with you, I've been playing The Division, but I because of peer pressure, am level 30 already and been running some of the
endgame
stuff with my friends. Yeah, well, because what it was is I, like, the game came out on a Tuesday, you know, played that night with people, then I left for about a week, and I come back, and everybody's already level 30, and they're like, hey, man, like, you know, we want to play with you, get here. And I'm like sitting there as like a level like 10. And it, you know, it takes like 20 odd hours to get yourself up to 30 before you can even start like doing the end game stuff.
Sure. It's one game that I'm really interested in picking up, and Ubisoft had phenomenal sales numbers of that game. It was like their biggest IP launch for a new IP. Oh, go
I
ahead.
think that they really I think they really listen to like basically everybody's complaints about Destiny and whatnot. They've been answering with patches and stuff like pretty much like every 3 or 4 days or so they've been updating the game, fixing things that the community finds broken, completely retooling like talents and stuff for a few things. And we haven't even gotten to the promised update in April, which is the first in what well, they it used to be called Incursions, but I think they're switching the name to Operations now, which are essentially like the Destiny raids. And that was promised in an April update. None of these other fixes or changes were promised beforehand, but they seem to be doing it and really only keeping servers down for, I think the longest was about 2 hours, and that was an actual like scheduled maintenance. I think the Division is worth the hype it's been building. I actually haven't seen review scores. What have people been giving the Division?
I don't know either.
It's a great question. I'm hopping into Metacritic right now. I'm gonna assume that it's good scores because everybody's been talking positive about it, but it looks like it's got, well, it says 4 out of 5 stars, so 78, which is surprising. I thought it would have been a lot more.
I think the reviewers didn't get any copies until launch day, and they
That
had a
could
bit
be
of a
it.
trouble at launch day, like people blocking doors and then like stupid internet stuff.
That could
So
be it.
that might have influenced it just a little bit.
It looks like a blast. I mean, I know everybody that I know that's been playing it has been loving it. So it seems like a great, I don't want to say follow up to Destiny, but a great game to get into if you're into that genre. And was it Robin mentioned last week that she loves to Robin and Tom that they love to open and do close all the car doors in the
Yeah,
game.
I think it's even an achievement, but I'm not sure.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah.
It's that obsessive compulsive that
Okay.
the game designers know to pull out of us. That's all I'm saying. Cool. So you're liking Division X. Anything else you've been playing?
I've been trying out Pokken, whatever the
Okay.
Tekken Pokemon fighting game. I think that thing definitely. I don't know if it was Nintendo underselling it or who what it was exactly, but I didn't think that game was going to be that great. But man, what a good fighter that is. And it's, especially for people that don't really do like many fighting games. I think there's at least like a character that somebody can figure out at least mildly well just by button mashing to become competitive. And it has different systems and different gauges, but it's not like Street Fighter or something like that where you need to know the like specific button combinations. It's just tap these two buttons and cool stuff starts lighting up and happening. I think it definitely has like a more instant gratification for people that don't really understand how fighting games work than a lot of other ones do.
It's kind of, I've been playing it as well, and I've got the same thoughts as you. I hardly saw any advertising for it, if any, really. And Nintendo didn't really talk about it because it just kind of appeared. We knew it was going to come out. They didn't really show anything in their directs until like really recently. And it kind of bombed in the arcades in Japan, I guess. And so nobody was really talking about it, but it came out, and I really dig it. It's actually a really solid fighting game. I mean, I feel that Tekken, that sort of a little bit of the Tekken vibe in there, but who have you been maining in the game? Any specific character?
We've just been switching it up. I've only played like maybe like a couple of rounds of actual like single player. It's just been a lot of me and my brother like playing matches. I was using now I'm not gonna be able to remember her name. Or he Braxen, whatever the second evolved form of X and Y's fire Pokemon.
Okay.
I think it's Braxen.
Blaziken or
No,
Brax.
not Blaziken.
Okay.
I think it's Braxen. She's like a fire wolf, and has like the little flame stick. I honestly can't think of her name.
Okay, yeah, she's in like the bottom right corner or something, right? On this select, something like that. Okay. Yeah, I've been doing Blaziken. Is that what it is? Blaziken? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, is the like fighter in the top left corner?
Yes.
I think, is where Blaziken is. Yeah.
Cliff Blazinski.
Cliff Blazinski. Yeah.
Well, and I mean also like I'm assuming within the first like couple handful of characters everybody plays, they've been using Luchador Pikachu.
Yeah, which is great. It's great.
Yeah, because like you would think it would end up like Smash where they like sort of don't really change his moveset, but he has an entire like wrestling moveset, and the first time you finish a match by like suplexing Spidey, it's just incredible.
It's great. That's the one thing I do kind of wish that they. I think really the only knock against the game is that there isn't a ton of characters. There's like what there's like 12, I think, something like that. Which is
yeah. I was hoping that maybe they did like unlocks or something throughout the single player, but I don't know about that.
I guess if it
didn't do too well in arcades and stuff, we probably won't see DLC characters of any kind.
Mm-hmm. Which is a shame because I actually really enjoy the single player. I don't want to call it a campaign, but it does kind of feel like you're in a way playing a single player Pokemon fighting, you know, a Pokemon campaign game. Because you're advancing through the ranks, and you got like five. The way it progresses, you got to beat five people that are ranked ahead of you, and then you move up to the next group of ranked folks, and then the next group of ranked folks, and you face the essentially like the gym leader in your zone. And if you're good enough, then you move on to the whole second. Like the first league is the green league. You keep moving on to the different leagues, and folks get progressively harder. But I like it. I dig it as well. In fact, the animations are really nice. The game is super pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did notice Blaziken, as I'm playing the game, and I'm like, wow, something's not quite right about his crotch. I just couldn't pinpoint it.
Yeah.
It's the way they designed the character. He has like tufts of fur that go from like his belly button all the way back, like under his, through his taint to his tail. And it looks like he's got a dong, which I'm like, it's pretty amazing. He has, I have to kind of hide the screen from my daughter when she's watching me play. I'm like, well, how did this get through Nintendo's sensors? Don't look, little one. But yeah, I'm enjoying it as well. We'll talk about it later, but maybe one of those Wii U Swan Song games. I guess. But okay. Anything else you've been playing?
I have been playing something for review. I can say what it is, but I can't talk at all about it. And that's Valkyria Chronicles Remastered.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a thing that's happening in May. So stay tuned. Roughly until halfway through April when I can actually talk about it.
It's May is the date that you
gave us. I want to say the release date is like May 26th or something. It's really far away.
Well, it's a long game as well, so I can kind of. Which is great that they got it to us ahead of time. Gives us time to actually go through it. Shows you how in the know I am when in JRPGs lately. So excellent. Well, I've been playing. Thanks, Sam. By the way, I've been plowing through my backlog, my Chronicles, and I'm actually on schedule. I think I've gone through 7 since I kicked this whole thing off in February. And the interesting thing that I found was a long game can be a lot longer if you're only playing for like an hour a night, because you it seems like every time I play. So the game that I've just completed was South Park, Stick of Truth. And what a fantastic game. That's just that I'm so bummed that I missed it when it first arrived, because it's such a refreshing, a turn-based RPG with terrific animation, great characters, great plot. It's like watching an episode of South Park, like a real long episode of South Park. It's way fun, and I'm bummed that I missed it the first time. But it's I'd play it for like an hour or an hour and a half at night, and then I'd fall asleep, go to bed. Next night I'd start playing again. I'd lose a half hour trying to backtrack to remember what I was doing, or to, I get pulled off onto a side quest. And, Yeah, so it could be a lot. It takes a lot longer to complete some of these JRPGs and some of these bigger games if you're not sitting and putting like 2, 3, 4 hours at a time into them. But regardless, completed that. Totally fun. I played a whole bunch of incompleted, I guess you say, if they can complete, Tatsunoko versus Capcom, which is a fantastic fighting game for the Wii, and it's a total shame that it's lost forever into the ether of video game history because it will never appear anywhere ever again. But what a great fighting game. If you know, maybe I've been on this weird fighting game kick lately. Look out, Street Fighter V. But yeah, that's have either of you guys played Tatsunoko?
No,
I haven't.
All right, you could probably find it somewhere on the cheap. I'm sure it's for already listeners that are looking that are interested in it. And it's great animation, great characters. Of course, it has a bunch of Capcom characters like Mega Man and Street Fighter characters. And it's also got a bunch of characters from Tatsunoko, which are the, I guess they're the very anime-based worlds. And so it's a ton of fun. It was a crossover that happened kind of out of nowhere. And it plays great. The controls are really good. Of course, the online doesn't work anymore, so I was trying to see if I could get online at all. But it's total fun. It's like a tag team Street Fighter-ish game. So I enjoyed it. I would recommend hunting that down if you get a chance. It's a really fun fighting game. It reminds me of some of the really fun it reminds me of playing Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter 2 on my SNES for the first time, in that you totally get it. The controls are very simple. But they're very deep as well, and the combos are great, and it's awesome when you have somebody else to play with too. So yeah, definitely check that out. So that's been mine. I've been kind of going through that backlog and putting more hours into Fire Emblem, which is still at the top of my list for Game of the Year right now because it's just so good, so meaty. But that's basically it for me. I completed South Park, and I was going to hop into Dead Space 3 to get through that, get that knocked off my list. See, there's the That's probably a combination. My stuttering is a combination of the alcohol and the Dayquil, so pardon me. But I started playing Dead Space 3 a couple days ago. So I had that sitting on my pile of shame, and then I just noticed that Xbox did the backwards compatibility for the first Dead Space game. So I figured, well, Dead Space 2 and 3 can't be far behind if they've unlocked the first one. So maybe I'll hold off and I'll play another game first and then hop back into Dead Space later on. So yeah, I think 7 or 8 games in. I've been offsetting the big long games with some of these shorter ones, so it's been a lot of fun. Gaming history over the last, the games from 2009 are fantastic. I'm just letting you guys know right now. that's what I've been playing. But okay, great. So let's hop into these topics today because we have some really funky, breaking news, hard-hitting topics, but they all kind of deal with the fate of some modern consoles and video game design direction, I guess you could say. I'll start with the first one, and that's coming out of GDC. We'll actually get to – okay, here are the topics. We're going to talk a little bit about VR, the PSVR. We got some NX rumors, some Wii U rumors, and the PS4K. So we'll kind of take it in that order. So start with the PSVR. During GDC last week, Sony finally announced the price of the PlayStation Virtual Reality headset and unit, I guess you could call it, at $399 to get the absolute base unit, which I think is just a headset and the box that attaches to it and like a pair of little mini in-ear headphone buds, and then a copy of what's that VR game, the Playroom?
Yeah.
Something like that. And then a couple days later, they announced, a few days later, they announced that the first pre-orders are going live for kind of the larger bundle, which includes the camera, which you'd need the camera to use the PSVR on your PS4, and a couple of Move controllers for $500. All of which, each of these things you could find anywhere for like $20 each. I think the Move controllers I found for $8 on Target's website the other day. So that's always a positive. Save some money there. But After we found out that the Oculus Rift had, I think the last time, one of the last times we spoke, the Oculus Rift was at $599, and the Vive is at $799. To have the PSVR come in at around, you know, anywhere from $399 to $499 is a pretty good price drop, you know, a price point, I think. What are your thoughts about where you see PSVR going? Is it mainstream? Obviously, I don't think the power is it's not as powerful as the Oculus or the Vive, but it may touch a nerve that, or it may touch some, get some groundwork in before it's all said and done.
Well, the $399 price point, keep in mind, in Canada, it's like $18,000 right now. So, the messaging around is a little iffy, I find, because $399, it's not $399, because you need the camera, $6. Like I said, the Move controllers that I haven't used in 5 years, because I was one of those guys that bought them when I came out. So at least there's that. But I think it's... I don't think they're aiming for a super high end VR like the Vive or the Oculus. So I'm very curious to see what they can do, and I think they're going to be maybe smaller experiences the rope for game and maybe some bobsledding. I don't know what they're going to do, but I know there's some other stuff in development that are more like storytelling based. So I think it can pull it off, but it might not have like the room scale that the Vive has, where you can actually walk around in your house.
Right, right.
I don't have any hands on yet with the VR, which is hopefully I'll get some this year, because I'm very, very curious to see what they're gonna do with it.
Yeah, I'm. So my big thing is I haven't been able to get any of the other two VR systems, the Oculus or the Vive. I've kind of looked at their specs, downloaded the tools to see if they'll work, and they don't work on my PC, which is not even a year old, by the way, mind you. It's a laptop, because I don't have the space for a desktop in my home. I have the space, I should say, but it's being used by all kinds of other stuff right now. So it would have to work with a laptop, and neither of those two really want to work with a laptop because of the architecture, the graphics card. So the PSVR, however... seemed like a very natural thing. It's no extra added cost because I already have a PS4. I am expecting there to be some great VR games. Obviously, there's the there's going to be a ton of Sony stuff. I still think No Man's Sky is going to show up in VR at some point, which would be a killer app for the device by itself. But at that price point, $399, $499, I think it's actually... To me, it's a very mainstream price for those who already own a PlayStation. And I don't think it's going to be very powerful, but it may be powerful enough.
Yeah.
Maybe a good step up from doing this, which I'm showing the guys, is me putting a phone in front of my eyes in a, you know, some type of plastic headset like Google Cardboard or Gear VR. But I think it's a smart price point, to tell you the truth. The messaging wasn't super clear because they didn't quite come out and say that you absolutely needed the camera until later on. So they managed to get those $399 headlines, us included, although we did post that you need the camera. But those cameras you can get for a lot cheaper cameras and two Move controllers than $100. So.
Oh, yeah.
I do think, though, it's going to be the hot seller for the fall in terms of gaming hardware, I guess, all depending on what the NX stuff, which we'll get to here shortly, does. Mostly because it's mindshare, right? Sony is now dominating internet tech mindshare by talking about the VR. It's coming in October. It's kind of like the Kinect was for the Xbox 360 when that was first announced and revealed and launched. I mean, it really reinvigorated Xbox 360 sales through the roof. I think it was that point that the tide sort of turned away from the Wii, the old Nintendo Wii, and its kind of incredibly quick sales and shifted back to Microsoft. So it's going to be interesting to see. I do think Sony's going to do really well with it, because people are looking for something that's different, and these kind of big accessories tend to, if they get a push, they tend to do really well for the console in general. Yeah, I guess we'll see come October. We'll see more at E3 and hopefully at PAX East here in a couple weeks, a few weeks, they'll have something to talk about and show us. But that may not be the only new kid on the block this fall. There's a whole bunch of other news that we're going to get to, but the first one being the NX, Nintendo NX. There have been a lot of breaking leaked images of the NX controller based completely and exactly on the images that were leaked from, or the patent images, which weren't really leaked images. You can search for them for that kind of football shaped controller, just touch screens, no buttons. The only buttons would be the supposed scroll wheel, left and right buttons, and then thumbsticks, and that's it. And so we got all these leaked images over the last week of this incredible controller. There was a white one, and then I think that appeared last Thursday, and then a glossy black one that appeared yesterday. So, gentlemen, guess what? As revealed about 10 minutes before the podcast started, those were indeed fake, at least the one from last week. But all things assume that the one from yesterday as well is a fake because of how close that is. And the data is probably out there for that. So CAD data, I should say, the modeling data. So, but it ignited this incredible fervor around the internet and this amount of hate, unlike which I've never seen before, against a Nintendo product. I mean, I think people thought the Wii U's gamepad was peculiar, but there wasn't a ton of, there was some hate for it, but now the gamepad, or this Batarang football shaped thing, it was unbelievable, the reaction from folks. And we didn't post it. We weren't going to, because it's very difficult to trust these leaks until you see something concrete. There's got to be concrete evidence, and there wasn't any concrete evidence in these leaked images. And so I'm glad we held up.
Except for the tree behind the window. That was
except for the same tree, which is brilliant. It's the same tree, guys.
Yeah. Oh, the internet.
Oh, I love the internet. But so what did you guys say? First of all, do you think that this is in any way forget these leaked images, or these supposedly, because we know they're fake now. But the patent did specify a buttonless touchscreen. And Andy from over at Game Informer had tweeted that he had been told that the controller didn't have any buttons on it as well, that it was a more or less giant touchscreen. So what are your thoughts about that idea for a gaming controller?
Well, if it uses the same sort of touchscreens that Nintendo has used in the past, it's probably not going to work out too well. Right. Their screens like don't really have any feedback of any sort. Plus, I don't think even the 3DS screen allows you to do multiple inputs at one, right? Mm-hmm. Once, right? I think it's just one input. So, I mean, think of all the times you play games and you have to hit more than one button at the same time to make things happen. So if that's the type of screens you're going to use, let's hope they don't. It's also going to be so interesting to me if at the end of all this, Nintendo just releases like a GamePad Pro controller for the system, and like that's all just like research and development stuff they had been looking at, but not actually moving forward with it. But it's going to be interesting because we still don't know for sure if the NX is coming out this year or if they're just talking about it this year. We don't know if any of the Nintendo. Well, we know that the Nintendo. Club, well, it's not Nintendo Club anymore. Nintendo accounts, yeah, are going to be playing a big role with Nintendo moving forward. But we haven't really been given what that means. You know, are we going to see like some sort of like thank you program for like Wii U owners because of like their willingness to do sort of the ambassador program and stuff with like that with the 3DS? So. I don't know. And with VR being the like the hotness this like season, do we see like the first console launch ever like in spring, just to sort of get themselves out of the sort of competition and conversation after the holiday? Because there always seems to be like, you know, around like the end of January, beginning of February, even if there's games coming out, it always seems like the internet is collectively bored with the games industry. Mm-hmm. So maybe Nintendo decides to pull like a crazy move and just release a console not near a holiday season on the sure fact that they want people to know not to glaze them over, because VR is coming and is like it will be in full force at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, knowing Nintendo and they're always doing the opposite of what everybody else does, maybe their next system only works outside when you're nowhere near Wi-Fi or anything. So it's like a force to go outside console. Get back in real life, people.
Well, the Pokemon Go.
Exactly, Pokemon Go.
I mean, that was just more details surfaced today, especially with that weird wristband thing that they're pushing. But I'm. And this ties in directly to our next story, which we'll get to in a second here. But it's going to be very interesting for Nintendo, because I totally agree with you. Everybody's going to be talking VR when the PlayStation VR comes out. I don't think so much right now with the – I don't think any of the console – if Sony didn't launch the PSVR this year, I don't think they would have to worry about any type of impact from like Oculus or Vive, because those are PC and they're – I think there was a some research. I think Nvidia did some research, which stated that 18 million out of all the computers in the world, only 18 million have are qualified to run Oculus or Vive, and there's like 36. Oh, there's like 38 million PS4s already on the market. So those sheer magnitude of numbers shows you that. None of the console manufacturers would have had to worry about anything if it was just to PC. But it's not. Sony is pushing it to console, and they're going to make a huge push for VR. And how can, in my opinion, it's going to be difficult for Nintendo to, if they do launch this year, to say, hey, I know everybody's going to this crazy virtual reality thing, and Sony's pouring millions of dollars, into advertising all over the place and all that, but here's us on a screen still, here's our new console. It's exactly the same or very similar to previous consoles. I don't know. It seems like the mentality is going towards VR being the next great thing. And if you introduce something that's not VR, you're already behind the times, whether or not VR sticks around. I mean, obviously we know Kinect didn't, we did fall back to more traditional gaming. I don't want to say I'd be worried if I were Nintendo, but I don't know how I could mentally compete against, or that mindshare-wise, compete against the brand new technology that's out there.
Yeah, I don't think they're looking for that, though, because like VR is like the anti-Nintendo, because Nintendo is all about family social work, and VR is like the anti-socialist gaming you can do.
It's true, right?
For yourself, so I don't think they'll chase that. But it's going to be interesting, because the first things I heard about the NX was it's going to be like a PlayStation 4.5, just a little stronger than what we have now. Get back to the core gamers, blah blah blah. And now you never know, with these guys what they're going to do. But I don't think they're going to even try to get into the VR space, because it's just not what they do usually.
I don't know. I don't think they will this year for sure. But I think it's something that. Nintendo is, I'm sure that I think they're looking at it. I think they're actively looking at VR, maybe not to a great extent. I think they just kind of want to see how it all shakes out first. And the same with Microsoft. I mean, Microsoft is focusing more on AR, but Nintendo may be looking at it a little bit differently and just kind of seeing how the VR world shakes out before they really dip their toe in it. Kind of doing like what Apple is doing right now. I mean, Apple's hired a bunch of VR folks to work for them and explore the possibilities, but they haven't announced anything. I think they're also waiting for this whole thing to shake out and see where it goes. So, but if you have a console that's powerful enough to manage VR, then throwing an accessory out there in a year or two's time wouldn't be a huge issue, yeah. Right? And of course, if Pokemon Go is any indication, then you're right. They are pushing for something that's completely different than gaming. In a anti-social, I guess you'd call it, environment, a non-social environment. So, but that does tie into the Nikkei reporting this week that I think it was it yesterday that the news broke or the day before.
2 days ago.
From the Nikkei that. Do you want to go over the story then?
I'm super mad about it. Like I wrote like a 1,000-word article that's probably going to go up tomorrow, but I'm mad about.
Where's the article going to go up, by the way?
No, it didn't go up yet.
But where will it go up?
On the Daily Crate. Daily Crate.
Daily Crate. Check it out. Awesome.
The antagonist. Like, why I'm so mad about this whole Wii U deal, and this is like a personal story, but I remember when I got my NES system, like my mom worked her ass off to buy me that computer, and if that thing would have been discontinued 2 years in and no games would come out, it would like break her old heart. Mm-hmm. And now there's a lot of families who bought the Wii U. Like we always kind of talk in a bubble of, oh yeah, we have a Nintendo Wii U, we have an Xbox, we have a PC. Not every family is like that. Like there's a lot of families who buy one system for the kids and that's it. If you bought a Wii U this year, you're getting shafted, man. Like I don't know, if you walk into a GameStop or EB Games here in Canada, you have to look for a Wii U games. Like the shelf space is very, very limited.
And it's the same in the US, yeah.
Yeah, and just them pulling the plug on production is kind of the nail in the coffin, I would say. Because the store is not going to stock anything more once you cut production. There's just no more room. They'll replace it with an X. So I'm having a bad taste in my mouth about the whole Wii U thing. But for Nintendo, it makes sense. Like they're still a business that they're trying to chase their revenue. But I hope, like Sam said, like an ambassador program or anything to help out those poor Wii U owners that only have a Wii U for the next 3 years, because they are not going to be happy.
So it's a great point. I mean, my daughter loves the Wii U. It's the console she plays nonstop, and she looks forward to any new game that comes out for the Wii U. She's a huge Mario Maker fan and even Amiibo Festival. So Sam, she would love playing with you one of these days, I'm sure. and then Pokken Tournament, she's been into Pokken Tournament. And so as a six-year-old, it's great watching her because the Wii U is a very family-friendly console. It's very accessible. but I think it's different for us, for me especially, because I will buy a brand new console that comes out. And I've kind of trained, unfortunately, in that weird way, trained my daughter that whenever something new comes out, the old stuff is old and you don't want it anymore. So maybe it's something that has been baked into my years of reporting on technology. But I do agree with you. It's for those folks that are just getting it now, and there's a lot of folks and friends of ours especially that are just getting the Wii U now for great games that are coming out, especially Star Fox. Star Fox will see a big uptick in sales of the Wii U, that potentially by the end of this year, Nintendo is going to stop producing it and essentially really slow down the marketing of the Wii U as well.
That's the thing. Like, if you don't read about this stuff, if you're just a dude or a mom, yep, or a dad or whatever, there is no indication that this is going to happen. You have probably no clue that an X is in the works. You see Amiibo everywhere, so it looks like, oh yeah, this is still the system, mm-hmm, that I'm going to get stuff for, except there's no games, and that's going to dry out as soon as they switch over to NX, which we know, but not everybody's going to be aware of that new thing that's on the horizon. It's like that's going to hit them like a brick.
I was going to say, even for like Nintendo fans, like hearing that Nintendo's going to stop producing them is sort of like a red flag to, oh well, you're no longer developing games for this platform, you've moved on and all your development is based in NX. And with Nintendo being the company it is, we often don't hear about games that are scheduled to come out until about 2 months before they drop.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
There could be like 25 Wii U exclusives between now and whenever they discontinue the product, but we won't know that until Nintendo is like ready to tell us. The other thing is like with discontinuing the Wii U and not really talking about the NX yet, we don't know how much content, if any of it, is going onto the NX to like convince families to be like, oh, I can sell my Wii U and still bring this like forward with me. We don't know if any of the controllers are going to work, like the Wiimotes worked for the Wii U. We don't know if the games are going to work. So, and very likely the virtual console games won't work. So,
unfortunately,
I think it's sort of a bad play And there's a reason that they didn't say something like this in a Nintendo Direct, that like, hey, we're stopping production to focus on the NX, because they don't want that information into the hands of people, because they'll stop buying Wii U's. It's just unfortunate that like we've gotten to the point now of the Wii U where there really is, you know, without sounding like a marketing term, there really mm-hmm. is something for everyone on the Wii U now. There is like its own, well, not like its own dedicated game, but there's like Skylanders type NFC games that are bringing people in, especially like younger kids. You have like family board games, you have your Smash, you have your Mario Kart, even Mario Tennis. I don't know if there's a Mario Golf for Wii U, but we've pretty much hit all the like check marks of if you're a Nintendo fan, but you're a very particular Nintendo fan. We've hit the check marks for those systems. And we haven't seen a price drop of that console yet.
Right.
We, like, really haven't, yeah. We really haven't seen anything that really, really like lets consumers know that like, hey, this is our like halfway point plan, or this is our expansion plan. Like, we haven't reached the Kinect of the Wii U effectively, or like even the balance board of the Wii. These sort of ideas that were meant to, you know, on paper, propagate the idea that the system was supposed to last a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe by E3, we learn that the NX isn't coming out until holiday 2017, and Wii U titles are still planning to come out. But it definitely should put people on their toes of maybe investing in Nintendo hardware right now. And unless it's, well, and even like the 3DS and 2DS, Hyrule Warriors just came out on the 3DS, and it runs way better on the new 3DS than it does on the old 3DS.
Sure.
There was nothing in their marketing that has mentioned that, like, hey, if you're running on an old 3DS, it's about half the frame rate and almost unplayable. It's just a Nintendo thing, it seems, to really not give any information until fans are already deep in panic over what's going on.
Which is where we're at right now.
Yeah. So, it's always weird with Nintendo, because you want to think – I feel like I say this every time we talk about Nintendo. You want to think that they know what they're doing and that they have the best intentions for every gamer in mind, but who knows? And – again, you know, maybe they're stopping production of Wii U's because they have an entire warehouse filled with millions of them. And they don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
As you said, like, there is definitely a, you know, there is a business decision behind stopping the production of your console. And whether it's because we're focusing on developing a new console, we want to get those factories ready to produce that, or simply we have too many and it's just costing us too much to run, they're not going to tell us. They're not going to tell us until a press conference makes the obvious answer come to light.
Do you guys think that once this year is done, this the rest of this year, that let's say the NX does launch this year, that Nintendo will essentially completely stop creating games for the Wii U? Do you think that this year, if the NX is launching, let's say holiday, do you guys envision any Wii U games January onward?
Maybe shovelware.
I feel that we might see, if it ends up where the new Zelda is on the NX and the Wii U, we might see more than just Zelda doing that. Hmm. And especially if maybe like amiibos or something are translating over to the next generation, we may see like, you know, amiibo party something for the holiday season on both the Wii U and the NX. But I would think that, you know, if they're working on a new Metroid game or something, that would probably wait until the NX,
then
sort of split development.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. it's similar to what happened with the Wii, in that really it was a kind of those, I don't want to say shovelware, but it was those, hey, here's another party game that we created, enjoy it, I guess. You know, like, we may see another Mario Party on the Wii U. We may see an amiibo thing, because those, at least the amiibos, can translate over to the NX. I mean, Nintendo keeps saying that the amiibos are, I mean, they've made a ton of money off them. They've almost single-handedly been keeping the company afloat.
Yeah.
with all the amiibos sold, so I doubt those are going away anytime soon. But I could see, I'm of the belief that we're going to get a few more games for the Wii U this year. I still think Pikmin 4 is going to come out this year. We'll get that announced probably for E3. And Zelda, and I think those will probably be the last two of the bigger-ish games coming out for the Wii U, and then I think after that's going to be full-on NX game design, you know, things are going to talk to. And then there's a part of me that says, if you haven't bought a Wii U yet, you're probably not going to buy one, right? Because Nintendo hasn't announced anything going forward. Yeah. And so what's beyond Star Fox, what are people going to pick up? Yeah, okay, maybe Zelda, but nobody knows what else is coming, and so parents are probably shifting to things like the PlayStation, or if they already have a Wii U, they may just be, you know, playing with the iPad and things like that. So I'm not super convinced that there's going to be as many angry people, because frankly, the Wii U really does have a great catalog of video games. I mean, they only had one Mario game, 3D World, but that was fantastic. They had at least a 3D Mario game. New Super Mario Bros. U was really good. That was a launch title. Mario Maker is phenomenal. You know, I'm looking at a bunch of other things. Even Nintendo Land was actually really fun when you get into it. We'll get Zelda, Star Fox. Yeah, you're right. It's like we're checking the boxes of these IPs, but they're great iterations of those. So I do think there'll be some downloadable titles, the Nintendo NES Remix. Maybe we'll get one more of those. But the Wii U has become this kind of strange it cover all the bases for Nintendo device, that it's its own complete little separate world, and then hey, that's going to move on, disappear, and nothing will come out, you know, beyond that. So it's kind of a weird situation. The Wii, I think the Wii was still being produced up to like a year or two ago, right?
Yeah, well, like four different versions of it.
Yeah, there were like four different versions of it. Yeah,
they made that version with like out any of the like GameCube controller, like
right, stuff. exactly. They had that version. Then they had the Wii Mini version, yeah. Right?
Well, yeah, it's like you said, like it'll be weird if if none of the Wii U stuff translates over to the NX or anything. Like you basically have like this box that for 3 years played some of the best Nintendo games, mm-hmm. that yeah. Nintendo's done since we've really moved on to 3D, and like there's going to be no way to access those unless like you buy a Wii U, and you know, however, if we're going to stop production, however many of those exist in the wild will exist in the wild. And, you know, Nintendo's usually pretty good. I think they were even fixing Super Nintendo's up until about 3 years ago.
Sure.
So, like, they'll support Wii U owners and hardware, but, oh, man, it's just, it seems weird that if the Wii U dies this year, does that content ever come back out again? And if so, like, you know, is Nintendo willing to do it? Or, you know, in 5 years, are we going to see like Mario Kart 8 again on NX with a couple more tracks, maybe looking a little fancier?
You know, I think with the way that the eShop is set up for Nintendo, at least now they actually have a digital storefront with the day and date launches. I could see them having, you know, the Wii U games compatible on the NX and other games going forward. I think it did take, in my opinion, it took until this generation for them to understand some level of online sales, because WiiWare was set up in like this weird little emulation thing for the games, and so none of that was tied to your account, and it was tied to the device, and it didn't quite work out very well. Nintendo at least got to the point with the eShop and Miiverse that you know, your Nintendo account, that things are tied to your account now. So I'm gonna reckon that everything's gonna be, you know, you're gonna get an NX and probably be able to play any of those games if you've bought them digitally. If not, you can be able to re-download them. I'm going to assume, this is a total assumption by me, so not, you know, obviously the Xbox One is just going through growing pains with that backwards compatibility, and PS4 doesn't even bother trying, so. But we'll see. So, I think that in order for Nintendo to really, I don't think they can save the Wii U. I think it's going to be a phenomenal collector's box, collector system down the line, like the Dreamcast is. I mean, people still take the Dreamcast out and they play. And I just read an article today, or I saw a few tweets today, that Smash Brothers players have figured out a way to do, like, some of the more pro players have figured out ways to top Melee in terms of some of the Melee moves and some of the Melee things. So now the Wii U Smash Brothers is the Smash Brothers game, right? So it's going to be a phenomenal little box to own that people may take out years down the line, 5, 10, 15, 20 years down, and say, hey, this is some really good games. Look at Super Mario Maker. You know, that was a lot of fun. Look at, Mario 3D World or Star Fox or whatever. So we'll see. I guess because I was an early adopter with the Wii U, I'm ready for something new. But for folks that are buying or planning on buying it this year, you may want to hold off until June, and then Nintendo decides what's happening at E3 with the NX.
And those people are listening to this podcast.
Exactly. Those people are listening to this podcast. And that gets us to this next and our final story here, which is the reports broke out last week and then were actually confirmed this week. We're not confirmed, but had more confirmation from other sources that Sony could potentially be working on a PlayStation 4.5, I guess you'd call it, or an improved PlayStation 4 that allows for 4K video output, better graphics card, and some better processing power. So it's a very interesting concept, a very interesting thing to take place right smack dab in the middle of a console lifespan here. I mean, the PS4, Xbox One are, 2.5 years old now, I think? So they're not really that old. They're just picking up even more momentum, and the PS4 is doing phenomenal with almost 40 million sold around the world. VR is going to push that even more, but they seem to, they seem to want to continue to push console cycles now and almost make them make it. I don't know if it's making it shorter or if it's just releasing a secondary device. I don't know. What are your thoughts about this news? So it was first posted last week by Kotaku, Patrick Klepek, and then this week on Digital Foundry and Eurogamer followed up, reiterated. Yes, 4K.
I have a feeling that this is like being a kid and overhearing where they hid your Christmas presents, like in September somewhere, sometime. I don't think we'll be hearing about like the release of a PlayStation 4.5 for like another like 2 years maybe. Because, this year is going to be VR talk throughout all of it. And next year, like, if you're already talking about another console, you're going to sour a lot of people that just bought a VR headset thinking, like, oh, this is what I'm going to do with my PlayStation for the next 4 years. I think it's obvious at this point. Well, not obvious, because, unless Sony comes out and be like, yeah, we're working on one. I'm pretty sure something like that's going to happen. But I think we're way far away from that actually releasing. The amount of, because there was talks that like, oh, well, maybe it's like one of the like 360 S's where they upped the processor and like did a couple other things, made the hard drive bigger, but it didn't actually like make things like stronger for the system. I think it added an HDMI port.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like from what they said that no, the 4K isn't just for video, it's for games too. It seems as if they are in fact planning like an incremental upgrade, but I don't think we'll be publicly hearing about it for a while. I just don't know why you would want to immediately get people discussing VR, potentially win the VR war before it even gets started. And then immediately go, hey, remember all that like good vibes we just got from how cool like the PlayStation VR was? Well, guess what? Throw that piece of trash away because here's a new one. It just seems weird. It's just that like the fervor for E3 this year seems to be building like immensely just months before it happens. And I mean, it happens every year, but for some reason this year, I feel like everybody was ready for E3 like at the beginning of January. and now that we're like, you know, people are starting to discuss things with people like leading into E3, I think this is just a note that, you know, somebody mentioned to somebody in passing, and then it just kind of like tumbleweeded down the lines to now we're here where everybody's panicked that 4.5 is coming out like next month. I don't know, I mean I could be wrong. I'm really willing to be wrong, but I don't think that's, you know, it's on the horizon for sure, but within a year or two I don't really see it happening.
Well, do you think that we'll see more of like incremental improvements as opposed to a PS5?
I hope not. I think that 4.5 is a terrible idea, personally. If you have 40 million out there and you're going to get the next big thing, and then what is going to happen to your PS5? Are you going to wait another 2.5 years and then piss off all those people that bought the 4.5? I think it's too short. I think people are still adapting, buying the PlayStations. If you add like a 2.5 year in, because I was expecting this whole cycle to last for only for 5 years. So I'm very surprised that they're going to cut it in half. I don't know. I hope not, because why drive everyone to a PC if... that's why I buy a console, so I can plug it in
right.
And about 7 years later, I don't want to have that PC hassle. And if you look at how amazing Uncharted 4 looks like on your 4, not your 4.5, like why do we need just a slightly better PS4 before we're going to go to the PS5? Like I don't have a 4K TV. I don't really need that. And they say, oh, no, you're going to have the same experience on your PS4. It's going to be the same games, just slightly better. Like, I understand that they can do it. Like, they can probably sell 4.5 now for the cost that they made the 4. So maybe there's a why not. But people are going to be mad about it, man. People are always mad. Like, you're going to be like, oh, you're one of those PS4 plebs. Here's my PS4.5. I don't know. It's a big market. It's a big market. If you're going to restart it every 2.5 years, I'd rather spend like $400 once every 5 years than having to get in mid-cycle. Because if this is going to be a thing, then I'm going to wait for the 5.5 next time. I'm not going to be one of those early adopters.
Is it going to be an iPhone type of thing, right?
Yeah. So I don't know. If it's gonna be confirmed left and right, I'm very very curious to see what it's gonna mean for the future. I think it's gonna bite early adopters in the ass this time, but definitely next time.
You know, one of my big issues is that there's hardly been any first party content from Sony for the PS4, let alone shifting to a PS4.5 or PS4K. You're splitting a market that has been focusing on essentially third-party support. PS4 is a third-party box. There hasn't – I mean, Knack, are you going to play Knack? I don't think anyone's going to really get into that. So it's to split it this early, I think, is an issue. And whatever they call this thing down the line, the PS4 Pro or the PS4K, and, you know, this is their – this becomes their $500 box while the PS4 is their – $300 box or whatever, either $350 box. I think you are all right. You split the market when you start to do that. Unless you really push this to, this is an $800 box that's just totally for high end. It's all our high end audio, our high end video. But even then, I mean, look what's happening with the. Sam brought up a good point. Look what's happening with the new 3DS. This is the new PS4. Games, there are going to be games that people want to design with the highest quality software and to run amazingly. I mean, obviously, you plug VR into a more powerful machine, it's going to run better. So you're actually sacrificing those folks who are playing, let's say, VR or a game on PS4 who are getting a worse experience than the ones getting in the Pro version, instead of designing for the mainstream experience and, you know, and so on. So it's a very odd thing, a very odd decision for me, for Sony to be even contemplating this so early in the PS4's lifespan. It's doing phenomenally. There's not a lot of first party content, and that's all starting this year. I mean, this year Sony has Uncharted, they have Last Guardian, they have Final Fantasy 15, which isn't first party, but it's gonna do great on the PS4. They have a bunch of other things coming, Ratchet and Clank, and so there is a lot of first party stuff, not even including the VR. So why start to separate that so quickly?
You know what I wonder? I wonder if they were working on the PS5 and they were like, oh man, we're gonna be behind on technology again. Mm-hmm. So how about we just push it and call it a 4.5, which was like original design of the 5. Mm-hmm. But we're 2.5 years in, man. Present the PS5 next year, E3, and then have it out a year later, and you're already in cycle. If you don't have to do the whole 7-year thing, and you're there, like, I don't even know
if I would do that, though, to tell you the truth. I would say, you know, if anything, I would announce it next year if they're this close. It sounds like they're, you know, prototypes in the wild, right? There,
yeah.
All the reports are that this thing has been in the hands of their, at least internally, for some time now, if not going further. This is going to build the groundswell. You're going to hear more about this, not from Sony, but just more rumors and people talking about it and wondering about it. It's going to start breaking into mainstream sites. Hey, Sony is already building the next play. I mean, the cat's already out of the bag in this. The genie's out of the bottle, right? No matter what Sony does, they're going to have to figure something out to calm this. But, if they announce anything, it's going to have to be – I actually think it's going to have to be a little bit sooner, like at maybe January, February of next year, and say, hey, guys, this is the PS4. It's just a high-end version that will, you know, it's almost like they need to minimize what this thing is and really focus on the entertainment aspect and say it'll run 4K video, the highest quality audio. It's for, you know, 3D TV system. It's for the person out there who wants that luxury gaming experience. And we're going to push this as a luxury gaming device. It's not the next PlayStation. It's not going to compete with the PS4. It's just our way of making a little bit extra money off the PlayStation 4 brand. And hey, we're going to throw in the, you know, PS Now will be included for free. You're going to get the PS View TV service for free. It's for the person that wants all these services or whatever. So maybe that's the direction they almost need to go in and say, this is strictly for the high-end, non-discerning, luxury gamer out there. The person who has that 70-inch screen and buys all those gadgets. But we are still going to focus on the PS4, but this is just PS4 Plus, I guess you'd call it. Like the PS4 S Plus or whatever, I don't know.
The only problem I see with that is the last time Sony took the stage and said this is a luxury gaming device, it was the PS3, and everybody went nuts. It's all it's going to take is for one news article to be about an in-development, like, PlayStation 4.5 game to mention that, like, you know, on the PlayStation 4, it runs at 30 frames a second, 720, but on the PlayStation 4K, it runs at 60 frames, 10, or, you know, 4K or 1080. All it's going to take is one of those articles to, you know, NeoGAF and the rest of the internet is going to lose its mind and collectively turn on Sony now that they've become, like, the champions of the console market.
Mm-hmm. It does sound like they're trying to pull an Apple right now, right?
If the 4.5 gives me a 3D mode on all my games, like Uncharted 3 did on the PS3, I will buy that thing so I can.
Did you like the 3D in Uncharted 3?
Loved it.
Same here. Absolutely loved it. That point where you're climbing up the tower and they're aiming down the laser lights.
Never seen anything like it. And that's on a PS3. I was like, see, this is why I bought a 3D TV. Totally legitimate.
This is why I've only used it one time since Uncharted 3. Same with me. I basically bought a 3D TV for Uncharted 3.
Yeah, terrible decision.
It's going to be very interesting, and we're the cat's out of the bag on this, and Sony's going to have to figure out something. To kind of add a little bit more fuel to just a general gaming fire, PSVR is launching this year. The NX, for all intents and purposes, is launching this year. It has to. Nintendo's going to announce it very shortly. Apparently, there's buzz from folks that are close with Nintendo insiders that they're going to announce it probably before E3. So maybe a May time frame type of thing. But Microsoft's going to have something. Something new, some piece of hardware at E3. I'm thinking it's going to be a slimmed down, very basic Xbox One that kind of cuts out a lot of the TV stuff, which isn't doing very well. People aren't really using it from what I've been reading. It becomes more of that pure gaming device, a lot cheaper. I think that's what's going to have to come out of Microsoft's camp, because they're already going to be falling behind. Maybe not even technologically, just from other new products from competitors popping up this year.
Yeah. Well, the digital only has always been a rumor for that box, yep. Right? Yep. So we'll see. E3 is going to be soon, man.
Yeah, and you're going to be there, right?
Hopefully, yes.
Hopefully. Yes. Well, I'll be there. I know Tom's going to be there. Ben from RCF's going to be there. Sam, you don't know if you're going to be there or not.
No. Who knows? maybe not.
Yeah. But hopefully we'll see a lot of folks there. But the next big event up before then is PAX East, and we're going to see a lot of people there. We're excited for that. We'll record another podcast before then, most definitely. Stay tuned to the website, because we're going to have the party list up this coming weekend, Easter weekend. We usually do it about a month before an event. So our world-famous party list, I've already created a very cool little title block logo for it, so I hope people like the image. But, gentlemen, thank you. We're going to put the end to the podcast, because I'm about to head out to go see Batman's versus Superman's and see that debacle and hopefully it's worth it. Before I go, you know what? I almost forgot. I'll thank you afterwards. We have some comments from some of our readers and listeners. we'll get your thoughts on this. So this is from Dominic Pietro at The Ramen Don. He writes, how do you feel about the rumor where the touchscreen transforms and gives you contextual real buttons per game? That was actually a persistent rumor that's been around for, gosh, near a year right now. Where people feel like the rumor is that the buttons, the screen can change. So buttons will pop up and take form depending on what people want or what developers want in the game. Is that something that interests you guys, or do you think it's a gimmick, or thoughts?
We'll have to see how that ends up turning out, like the actual product. Because for right now, it kind of just sounds like some Minority Report nonsense of the screen like shifting to like what the game needs or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Minority Report, I like that.
Yeah.
Is that your cat, by the way?
I mean, yeah, it is. He's been so needy, finally like jumped on my lap.
Hey, buddy.
This is Jarvin. All right.
Love it.
So we'll see. I think it's interesting. If it turns out to be a thing, like, I'd like to try it. As I said before, Nintendo's like use of sort of the more cheaper touchscreens makes me worry that if they are interested in that sort of technology, that it's kind of not going to be implemented well, but who knows?
Yeah, it has to be really, really well designed, because with my big fat thumbs, like, I'm going to hit all those buttons at the same time. If there's like no feedback to that whatsoever,
sure,
it's going to be a disaster for people like me.
I agree with you. I need buttons that click. I need that feedback. That's huge to me, having some type of clickable feedback. I actually love the idea of the scroll wheel, the L and R scroll wheel buttons, because Microsoft does the analog button. So the scroll wheel buttons are something that Nintendo patented a while back, but last year around this time. But Microsoft has the analog buttons that give you some type of force feedback. So you push down, and the harder you push down, or something like this, the harder you push down, the harder it kind of vibrates and pushes back. The scroll wheel is kind of like that as well. So you can, apparently you can click the scroll wheel just like any L and R button, but depending on how you, and I'm doing motions with my hands, the harder you push one, the faster your car can go. Think about it kind of like that with Mario Kart or a racing game, which could be pretty cool, kind of like an incremental button push in a weird way. So I think it's kind of an interesting idea. Dominic the Ramadan also writes, is it betraying Wii U owners to release the NX so soon after Wii U? What else would you have liked to see on Wii U? So the whole idea of betrayal, and a few folks have mentioned this, and I know while you were talking about this a little bit, and you're, hopefully you said it might be in your column, do you feel like it's an actual betrayal?
Nah, it's just business.
I think it's Nintendo admitting that they screwed up more than anything else. The Wii U is actually a pretty nice device from the standpoint of, I mean, I love the gamepad. It's actually my favorite gaming peripheral ever because not necessarily controller feel, but I can look down and I can play video games in HD with great visuals without having to look at my screen, which you couldn't do with a console before. And I sit on the couch and my wife and my daughter like to watch TV, so I can still play stuff like Darksiders and Mario and Call of Duty and whatever. I was able to do that while not looking at the screen. I thought that was very, very cool. Hopefully the NX does something similar. I don't want dual screens again where I have to have one screen and a controller and one on the TV, but it does seem like that's the direction they're going in. I would call it betrayal, but I do love the Wii U. I think it's time to kind of let this baby go and push this thing out. But was there anything that you guys wanted to see on the Wii U that maybe didn't show up?
Metroid. How good Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze was.
That was so good. Such an underappreciated game.
I hate that game because it made me rage so hard, but I loved getting angry at that game.
Yeah. What's interesting is that was one of those games where I thought, okay, another Donkey Kong game. I had my fill of the Donkey Kong Country and Donkey Kong Country Returns. I actually played that on the Wii initially, and I thought, it's all right. And then the 3DS version, it's all right. But Tropical Freeze was fantastic.
Yeah, Tropical Metroid Freeze. That looks like that, 2D side-scroller.
Oh my God, that would be great.
I would buy it today.
Definitely. And Christopher Rackley at Chris Rackley writes, he's thinking that if the Wii U is really ending production, this could confirm Zelda as an NX launch title. If Zelda were coming to Wii U, they'd be ramping up production instead of toning it down. They'd be launching with Zelda bundles, which is a great point. He says you're not going to be releasing Zelda on Wii U while shutting down production on consoles. You just can't do that. So I actually think that's kind of a valid point because the GameCube was still in production when they launched Twilight Princess and when the Wii was launched. You're going to have arguably your biggest game, the game that everybody's been waiting for since the Wii U was announced and first shown at E3, and that was the demo they had at E3 for the Wii U in 2011, I think it was, when I first saw it there, right after the announcement. That was pretty phenomenal. It just visual quality. It looked beautiful. It looked absolutely gorgeous. And so you're going to have Zelda, the game that everybody wants, that could sell really well, but how are you going to pair that with bundles, right? I mean, you're going to have to pair it with bundles because that's people are going to want to get the Wii U specifically for that game. I think it's a very valid question. I mean, how do you guys feel? You're launching Zelda. Is this going to be Wii U, NX, or both? And how do you think that's going to impact Nintendo's sales projections or their ideology?
I think it has to be both, only because they've been touting Zelda around for 2 years now. And even before it was, it doesn't have a title yet, right? I think they've even been referring to it numerous times, Nintendo has, as like Zelda Wii U or Wii U Zelda or whatever. I don't know how you go to different press conferences with that listed on your press stuff and then show up 2 years later and go, nah, just kidding, this is for the NX the whole time.
Sorry, suckers.
Because you got to think that they, you know, whether Nintendo wants to believe it or not, there are people who saw Zelda, this is a new Wii U Zelda that will come out eventually. Well, Smash Brothers is coming out soon, and I like Smash Brothers, so maybe I'll buy a Wii U now for Smash Brothers, and then once Zelda comes out...
But I'm really buying it for Zelda.
Yeah. Well, like, I just don't know... I think it would be a very bad move on their part to want to do that. As terms of like bundles, maybe if they're stopping production soon, maybe they already have those bundles ready to go by the time, because Nintendo is a company that, you know, limited edition consoles usually mean limited edition consoles. Occasionally they'll get re-releases depending on how big it is, but I mean, there's still people that'll pay like $800 for one of those Animal Crossing Pop-Tart 3DSs. Right. So I would assume that if they're going to bundle it, they'll have consoles already made if they're going to stop production before that game is ready to ship.
They're probably allocating those right now, more than likely.
Yeah. Well, and if it's coming for NX too, I wonder if they make a, like, oh, well, here's an NX launch bundle that also comes with Zelda, just in case you were thinking about buying a Wii U for Zelda, skip that and just buy the NX when they bundled in.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a console seller at all if it comes out at the same time as an NX, because why would you? Because they're probably going to price the NX the same price as the Wii U is now, because it is still the same price as it was in the beginning. Maybe it's here's if you're not going to upgrade yet, you can still get this game. There's still 12 million people out there who have a Wii U, I think. So it could be an easy money grab for them if they just tone it down a little bit. I don't know, man, but if you're going to sell, nobody's going to buy a Wii U for Zelda at this point.
Yeah, I think they're going to.
As soon as they come out with the NX, like if they keep it hush hush and have to double screw the fan base there, maybe.
The worst thing that can happen is Nintendo to say, hey, here's Zelda on Wii U. It's not coming out for NX. NX is a very separate device. And then, but you want to get the NX anyways.
Yeah.
There are going to be so many pissed off people. I think they would have to be a dual launch, game, you know, for both. But and then there's a part of me that says, I've said it like four times. There's a part of me. I actually think the final bundles will be. I think we'll see some Zelda bundles this year. Even if Nintendo stops production of the Wii U, they probably have like a few million of those sitting somewhere in stock because they're just not selling. They've probably produced like 15 million, and if only like 12 million have sold, there's still 3 million out there that they got to get rid of, right? So even if Nintendo stops production of the Wii U in over the next 6 months, I actually think that's fine because you'll probably see a Zelda Wii U bundle this holiday season. And then you may also see a just like an ultimate Wii U bundle with Mario Maker, Mario Kart, and Zelda Wii U, you know, and like vouchers, digital vouchers for all those. Like, here's the tail end, here's the end of it. Goodbye, Wii U, thank you, type of bundle thing where they just throw everything just to clear out the space. Like, you could see that in, you know, January or February of next year, which at that point, the price probably would drop down to like, If the NX is out, you could probably see that at like $199, and that may actually be kind of tantalizing when you think about it. For folks that aren't Nintendo people, but they still want to play some of those cool games, get the all-in-one bundle with like three or four of their biggest games. Like there was the Splatoon and Smash Brothers bundle, which was a terrific idea, great bundle last holiday season, and it sold a ton because you got arguably two of the best games on the Wii U and two of the best games of generation. Splatoon is phenomenal, is great, one of my favorites. So yeah, it could be, regardless, it's going to be very interesting. These last 7 days from GDC and all the stuff that's happened this week has suddenly reawakened a lot of sleeping giants in the gaming and in the gaming world, and has made people start talking about games again in a different way online, because things were kind of dying out, and they were focusing on, I saw a lot of like commentary just on video games and like specific games, like, hey, I'm playing The Division, everyone's talking about The Division, but no one was talking about like PSVR or consoles. But now all of a sudden the floodgates are open and people are talking about everything. Okay. It's actually been kind of fun to be on social media this last week, because there's conversations all over the place about everything gaming related, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. And Sam, it's a great point. For all the drama around people leaving E3 this year, suddenly things are, at least from the console maker side, things are heating up, and I'm becoming really excited to see what what happens here, because it could be a pretty exciting E3 this year. Yeah. Definitely. Okay, that's it. That's what we got. Now I can thank you guys, and now I can head out to go see Batman's versus Superman's, which is starting in a half hour here, and I'm going to get over there for drinks ahead of time, which I fear I may need to get kind of drunk before I watch this movie. Wout, I want to thank you. Give a plug for where you write, where they can find you, and all that fun stuff.
You can find me at the Daily Crate, it's Loot Crate's daily site, and I write there under the hashtagonist, and that's where I do my best work.
I will post the links in the links in the podcast post here. Okay. Sam, where may we find you?
On Twitter at SamDI79. I still need to tweet more. That was going to be a New Year's resolution. Didn't happen at all.
That's like my New Year's resolution of I'm going to Twitch more.
Yeah. Maybe I'll actually live up to what I said and make Tom hate me at least once every other day via some game-related tweet.
Just post amiibos, and he'll hate that.
Just any time I see an amiibo at a store or at somebody's house, just take a photo of it and be like, oh, look, Tom, this one's for you.
Excellent. SamDI79. You can find me at Dolly Domovsky. You can find, unfortunately, Tom and Robin weren't with us, but you can find Tom at That Tom Johnson and Robin at Robin at A Robin Miller. You can find us at SideQuesting on the Twitters, SideQuesting.com, SideQuesting TV for Twitch. And I think that's the majority of it. Thank you, everybody. Thank you immensely, Wout and Sam. And thank you, listeners. And thank you, everybody who submitted the comments. It was a lot of fun. A lot of great stuff is happening. We'll see you guys in another week or so here, and we'll have another great show. That's it. Over and out. Peace and love.
All right.
Bye, friends.
Enjoy Bat Soup.
Castle.